Welcome to a new episode of the China Flexpat Podcast. And today we're going into the entrepreneurship journey with Dino, who is probably the best expert on this, especially in the interface between China and worldwide markets. Welcome, Dino.
Thank you so much, Francis. It's a pleasure to be, you know, finally on the Flexpat, China Flexpat Podcast. Well, my name is Dino Dalplesh, and right now I help emerging founders, you know, scale their business without sacrificing their work-life balance or selling their soul. And I'm originally from a very small island called St. Vincent and the Grenadines, which is literally 12 hours away from where we are currently are. And I came to China like over a decade ago as a student and, you know, found myself throughout the entire journey now becoming an entrepreneur here.
So why did you first come to China?
Well, originally I came to China as a student. Yeah, I got a scholarship from the Chinese government 10 years ago. Yeah, and that's how I came to China.
That's a great chance. So what made you go into entrepreneurship?
Well, I remember in the beginning, coming close to the end of my graduation, I studied engineering, communication engineering. And at the end of my degree, I realized I didn't want to be an engineer. And there was an opportunity for me to do my master's degree in enterprise management with a focus on entrepreneurship. And at that time, I did a lot of entrepreneurial ventures. Like I started communities, I coordinated events. So I was already doing a lot of entrepreneurial things. So I realized this was an opportunity for me to develop my skills as an entrepreneur. So my master's degree is with a focus on corporate management, with focusing on entrepreneurship. And that's where that journey solidified for me personally.
Now we have a challenge here because we are flexpats. So many of us flexpats, we have work experience abroad in our home country, and then we come to China to bring some additional value. Now you are the other story. You come to China as a student, you finish your university degree here, and then you enter the job market. So how do you bring in additional value as a flexpat?
Well, I think ideally is perspective. Yeah, I think as foreigners coming into China, we have a different perspective than what the locals would have. Because even being here as a foreigner in China for such a long time, I realized when I leave China, the way how others see the world is different. And, you know, cultural intelligence is a very important thing now as we're global citizens. And when it comes to doing business with people, we got to deal with people. And that means we got to deal with their cultural understanding of, you know, their reality. So as a foreigner or as a flexpat, we can bring a perspective where Chinese can understand how to do business and communicate with an outside market and that understanding of how to do business on that side of the world. So I think that's where the main value comes in. And there's a very interesting framework we use as entrepreneurs from the design thinking framework. You know, ideation is very important. So with a different perspective, when it comes to creating solution, you tend to create more innovative work that is different from the competitors in the local market when you have a foreigner on your team.
What can Chinese professionals learn from these flexpats who come from abroad?
Well, I think mainly what Chinese professionals can learn is, you know, how other people in different environments think. Yeah, because when we look at influence or even, you know, building relationship, one thing my grandmama always tell me is that first you need to meet people where they are if you want to bring them to where you want them to be. So I think one of the things that a Chinese international can learn is, for example, if they want to do business with German companies, it's easier to learn about a German person individually who's already here so that they can break the ice and build strong rapport with German companies who are on the outside. Because in China, Guanxi is very important, right? And that is fundamentally relationship. So if you want to learn how to build relationship quick with a potential partner who's outside, having a German local in China who you can relate with already give you a competitive advantage, yeah, as a business owner.
So if you work with Chinese entrepreneurs and with flexpat entrepreneurs, what do you see as difference between them?
Well, I haven't worked a lot with Chinese entrepreneurs. Most of the entrepreneurs I've worked with has been foreign entrepreneurs who's doing business here in China. However, based on my relationship with different Chinese business people, I think the biggest difference is, you know, what they focus on. Yeah, I think the Chinese people here more focus on, you know, their face. Yeah, like respect and what people think about them a lot. whereas a foreign entrepreneur here would focus more on, you know, the how they're building, trying to build security and sustainability of what they're creating here in China. Because as a foreigner, things feel a bit uncertain and unstable because it's changing so quickly. And even though we know the language to a certain extent, when things change, we don't get that information as quick as a local business owner. So I think for a foreign entrepreneur, the problems that we have is a bit different from the problems that a Chinese entrepreneur have. So the Chinese entrepreneur, he's more focused on, you know, what his family think about him, how does people see him as a businessman, you know, how is he showing up with his friends, etc. Yeah, whereas a foreign entrepreneur would be thinking, okay, you know, what policy changed today? How can I motivate my employees? Are we having cash for this month? So those are some of the major difference in how, you know, I see foreigners approach business here compared to a local Chinese businessman.
You seem to be like the most well-known consultant for foreign entrepreneurs, right? So the FlexPad Entrepreneur Coach. So how do you find your customers?
Well, I think I use fundamental, you know, marketing and how to say client generation strategies. The first one is webinars. Yeah, I find myself to be quite a fluent speaker. So I tend to take part in quite a few speaking events, you know, where I share my knowledge and understanding of growing businesses or even growing yourself. Another one is networking event. Yeah, a lot of my clients have actually met in person and just exchange ideas because people tend to be curious about what you're doing. And when people find out that I'm a coach, yeah, a lot of, you know, they'll be like, oh, you're a coach, like, you know, and they'll get interested. So one of the things that I'll always do is to give my clients, my prospect, an experience of what coaching is. And when they have that experience, they see the value and then they want to continue that relationship. So nothing magical, yeah. However, I also love to teach. So what I do, I tend to create a lot of content so that people who don't know me can get an idea of who I am and get curious about what I do as well. So that's where the magic comes from.
there is four career paths for FlexPads, right? The first one is like expert. You do something really well. The second one is cross-border, like what I do. The third one is leadership. You lead teams. And then is entrepreneurship. So it seems that you really focus on entrepreneurship. So why would your customers, FlexPads, why do they go into entrepreneurship in China?
The first thing is that sense of freedom, which is very ironic being in China. Yeah, because being on the outside looking in China, the word freedom doesn't really come to mind. However, when you leave your home country and you come to a place like China, there's a sense of freedom to be who you always want to be as a foreigner because you don't have all those, how should I say, although the pressure from the environment that you have in your country of being somebody else, yeah? So I think when we as foreigners come here as China, we feel that ease to live into a version of ourselves that we've always wanted to be, because then we're not feeling like we're being judged by the Chinese people. So I think that's one of the driving reason for a lot of foreign entrepreneurs here in China. Then there's a lot of opportunities here as well as a foreigner, because the Chinese people are very welcoming. So when you try something, they'll support you a lot as a foreigner also.
That's interesting. So do you see any different way how Chinese treat FlexPads? I'm German, so I get a lot of very good treatment, but I also work corporate. I'm not an entrepreneur. So how about that? What do you think how Chinese react to FlexPads from different countries?
Let me give you a very easy example. This weekend, I went to the dentist to fix my teeth. And I can know without a doubt, I was the first foreigner to walk into that dentist. And I felt like I had a VIP treatment. Yeah, the doctor who was dealing with me, every time she's asking me, my teeth is hurting. When I went downstairs, the entire staff came to take pictures with me. They're curious about me and they want to exchange contacts with me immediately. Yeah, and that's just one simple example. So I think as a foreigner, you get more attention. Yeah. And the number one thing for any sort of business venture when it comes to marketing, attention is key. So automatically, you already have a competitive advantage as a FlexPad compared to a Chinese business person. Because now a Chinese businessman, he got to work for that attention. Whereas automatically, somebody being black or white in China, you already got the attention. You just got to work on delivering on whatever product you're going to sell.
So this is the competitive advantage, getting more attention? That's interesting.
well, that's one. Yeah, you already have that uniqueness. Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the first thing we learn as entrepreneurs is the business model canvas, right? And the first thing you need to answer is, what is your competitive advantage as a founder, as a startup? Yeah, and your personal brand is a part of that. So I think as foreigners, we automatically have that competitive advantage of being unique. Yeah, we are different. So automatically in a Chinese consumer mind, it means that we are going to bring something different from everybody else inside of the environment. So people would first be curious of wanting to purchase that thing, yeah, from the get-go.
So once more, you mainly work with FlexPets, right? And you help them to differentiate on the market and then to build their business. So what kind of challenges do they face?
For FlexPet, one of the biggest challenges that they face is, I think this is a challenge that any human face, and this is self-doubt. Yeah, it's very interesting that I've worked with people who are very talented and very accomplished, but still they have this sense of self-doubt that they can't achieve that goal that they have set for themselves. Yeah, so that's a big one. And another big one is, you know, managing their time and their energy. Yeah, because a lot of these people also have family as well, and they have passions and dreams, but their passion and dreams require time and energy. And that time and energy sometimes get taken away from the relationships that they want to create with their kids or with their wife or their husband. So I think one of the things that I really, you know, bring to a coaching relationship is make sure that they set strong boundaries for the life that they want to create and the life that they're living now. And that sometimes means saying no to the things that you'll say yes to, you know, in your past life. And sometimes that means creating new habits, you know, that you know is vital for the success of your business. Yeah, so I think those are two of the main vital challenges. And another one is, you know, understanding how to communicate your value. Sometimes we have this idea that, okay, if we build it, they'll come. And I think that's not necessarily true. We got to know how to tell them so that they'll come. So another big thing that I really help my clients with is, how do you really communicate the value so the people who you want to attract will understand what you're selling for them, instead of communicating it broadly to everyone and no one gets the message?
That's really interesting. So again, you work with FlexPets, then you help them to focus on their target and how to overcome these kind of challenges. So what is a key skill that you think FlexPet entrepreneurs need in order to succeed in China and to compete with Chinese entrepreneurs?
Well, I think a key skill, and this is an underrated skill, is self-awareness. Yeah, they are built to become aware not only of their self, but aware of the environment that they're in. And acknowledge that the environment that they're in, it's different, yet it's familiar. Yeah. And different in the sense that, you know, the habits or routines that, you know, people in your country may have would be different here. Yeah. And having the self-awareness that sometimes what you feel, yeah, is not you, it's just a feeling that you're having, and it shouldn't stop you from doing what's right. Yeah. And the self-awareness to know, okay, when you're tired, yeah, it means that maybe you should rest. Yeah, and when you're thirsty, maybe you should drink water. Yeah, and these are simple things that we as human beings, we should know how to do, but it's something that we usually overlook. Yeah, having that self-command muscle to do the things you need to do when you know you need to do them. Yeah, and that requires a high level of self-awareness. Remembering that when your body gives you signal, instead of ignoring it, become aware of what that signal is trying to tell you and take action based on those information.
We have two sorts of FlexPets, right? Most of our FlexPets, they are in corporate jobs, so they have a stable income. But entrepreneurs don't have a stable income. So what can FlexPets do in order to control their cost of lifestyle if the income is not coming the way that they thought it would?
Going back to the idea of self-awareness. So if your income is not matching the lifestyle that you want to live, I think you have a few things that you need to assess. It'll be one, first identifying how much do you actually need to live. Yeah, and that requires you taking pen and paper and get clear about that number. Yeah, that means writing down the basics, yeah, like rent, food, bills. Yeah, what do you need on a basic need, right? And then you gotta assess and audit your lifestyle. what are the things that you're consuming on a daily basis that, you know, you maybe you, there are some things that you need to cut out. Yeah, because one of the things that I see a lot of people who have even transitioned from corporate to entrepreneurship is that they made the transition, but they still want to live the same lifestyle as if they have a consistent salary. And that's where habits change would be required. Because if you're playing in a different environment, you'll need different habits. So you'll have to become aware of, okay, how much do I need to live every month? And then actually do the maths and see how much of that do you have available to you. One of the things that I do initially with my clients, especially when they come into entrepreneur from a 9-to-5 job, instead of measuring your income monthly, you start measuring it quarterly. Because you know initially when you start, you're not going to be getting a monthly income. And it's going to take time for you to develop your product or even build an audience around it. So it's a matter of changing your mindset of how you approach, you know, your lifestyle moving forward and more or less crafting the lifestyle that you want and start to do the things then that you know you need to do to maintain that lifestyle. Yeah.
What could be a reason to still take this jump into entrepreneurship?
That fear of regretting, you know, if I didn't do it, yeah, it's like you have this idea and you have this thing that you want to create and you know in your heart this is something that you really want to do and you know you can do it, yeah, and then your life is going every year, yeah, eventually you're going to hit 50, 60 and get into that age and then you're looking back, what if I did it? Yeah, what if I tried? Yeah, and another thing is sometimes you see a problem that you know you can solve and nobody else is solving it. And you know you have all the tools to solve it, but you just don't have the time to do it. And the only way you're going to create the time is you got to burn bridges and realize you're going to bite that bullet. I remember when I was a kid, my grandmom would always tell me this. She used to say, you know, if you see a problem, yeah, and you choose to not do anything about it, then and things end up going wrong, it's your fault. Because that was God giving you a nudge and giving you a sign that this is something that he gave to you that you can address. Yeah. And I think the same with most entrepreneurs is that we always see opportunities in the market. We always see a problem or we always see something that can be solved better. And we know we have the skills to do it. And maybe we know somebody who can do it. Yeah. Because being an entrepreneur is not sometimes about just creating solution, but also bringing the right people who can solve the problem even better than how it's being solved. So I think that's another reason why sometimes we entrepreneurs step into this role, because it's not a space for everyone. Yeah. It requires you to have a high level of resilience and have, how should I say, you got to have that level of grit. Yeah. To still move forward, even when things are not working as you expect.
Do you have an advice for entrepreneurs to deal with the whole visa, how to get the visa in China? How do you handle this?
Well, in terms of getting the visa, I think in China it's very straightforward. I think China have its regulation laid out simply. For example, in my case, yeah, you got to make sure you have a company registered here. Yeah, the requirement for foreigners is that you need to have at least 2 years of working experience or having a master's degree. And it's very interesting, registering a company in China is not as difficult as most people think. It literally takes like a few days. Yeah, and I'll suggest hiring an agent. Don't try to do it on your own because, you know, the nuances of their requirements do change. Just hire an agent and you provide all the material you need. Once you get the company license, then, you know, you can apply for your work permit. You get your work permit and using the work permit, your agent would apply for your visa. And that's not a big deal at all. I think the biggest challenge that you would face as an entrepreneur is one, generating income in your business, not the visa. I think people would make the visa big problem when it's actually not the real problem. Yeah, it's a problem that you think is the problem, but it's not a problem at all.
So you help flexpats build and scale their business and deal with all the challenges. And this might be business related or personal related. And we also saw that attention which entrepreneurs get because they're foreigners might help them to build and scale their business, but there might be other risks which they have, which Chinese entrepreneurs don't have, which, for example, being a guest in this country and dealing with a lot of uncertainty. So what do you think Chinese entrepreneurs can learn from flexpat entrepreneurs?
Well, I think the biggest thing that they can learn from flexpot entrepreneurs is, you know, the level of risk that we are taking as flexpot, and we are still making it work. Because sometimes I see a lot of the Chinese local, they are afraid to change. Yeah, they're afraid to take big risk. Yeah. And if you look at somebody who come from a foreign country, come into your country, and they're able, yeah, to do things that you haven't even think of doing, I think that's just a sign. Because I think as a Chinese local, you do also have your own competitive advantage of understanding the market better than a foreigner. Even though a foreigner comes in here and they have that immediate attention, like as I said, that a lot of Chinese companies, early companies, would focus on marketing sales. So that means they get a lot of attention, but in the back end, there's no strong retention strategy. So their business end up failing or closing because they're not able to retain customers. Yeah. So if they look at that, then bringing those two things together can create a really great, you know, strategy, where you have somebody who really understands the market and somebody who bring that unique, you know, selling point where people know, okay, this is something new, this is something different. And people would always want to come back for that new thing because they have nothing else to compare it to. So I think that's something that Chinese can learn, you know, from foreigners, yeah, as they're moving forward in their own entrepreneurial journey.
That's really great. That's really great, you know. So what are you thankful for if you look back on your career?
What I'm most thankful for is, you know, my mom. Yeah, I think she has given me the freedom to explore and do things that I've always wanted to do. Yeah, I've never felt like, you know, I must follow a certain path. Yeah, I can remember when I made that decision of doing my business full time. Yeah, and I was a bit afraid to tell my mom, because after studying for so many years, you know, your parents would expect you to get a stable job. But then she asked me one question. She said, do you believe you can do this? Do you believe you can make this successful? And I told her yes. And then she was like, okay, cool. Yeah, so I'm really thankful for my mom for giving me, you know, that trust and that having faith in what I'm doing. And also I'm thankful for good health. Yeah, it's a privilege to have a physical body that feels good at this age and be able to just, you know, shop with vibrancy and energy moving forward. Yeah.
Now, you're living in China. Are you going to stay here?
Now, that's a big question. The last 3 years has been interesting and it's been challenging, yeah, the answer to that question. However, right now, I feel like I'm going to be here for a while because things has been changing. Yeah, it's been becoming a bit more open and a bit more friendly, yeah, to me personally. So I can see myself being here for the next 5 to 7 years. Yeah, if that change, it would be as a result of unexpected events.
I see. Okay, so if you have the chance to share a message with the world, what would it be?
Learn to work harder on yourself than you do on your job, on your business. And for things to get better for you, you need to get better. Yeah, instead of waiting around or for everybody else or someone else to tell you what to do, you get better. You invest in yourself, read, get a coach, get a mentor. Go to workshops. Don't let that learning lead to knowledge. Yeah, let that knowledge lead to action. Because action is what leads to clarity. And as you show powerfully and take imperfect action, you're going to see exactly what's your right next step.
Thank you, Dino. That was really inspiring. Thank you for being a guest on the China Flexpot podcast. 谢谢, 再见.
谢谢你, Francis. 再见.